Amen. Praise God for His goodness. Amen. A powerful year by the grace of God and His blessing on us. And I mean, we celebrate His grace today, His faithfulness. And boy, I'm thankful for God for everything He's done, to God for everything He's done in our midst. And as we look at this message this morning, the faithfulness of God in 2021, I want to invite you to just celebrate with us today everything that God is accomplishing in His grace and mercy through us, for us, by His goodness and grace through Christ Jesus in us. Look at verse 1. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your disease, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." So this is the reason why we're celebrating, because we count and remember the many blessings of the Lord in our lives. Now, in 2 Timothy 2:13, it says, "If we are faithless," how many of you know that plenty of opportunity for us in which we were faithless throughout the year? We lose hope, you know. We sometimes get worried. We start complaining, criticize others, judging, and condemning. And sometimes we just want out of the journey in which God has called us. But God remains faithful. Amen. Even in our faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. I mean, we trust in God. And whether we are trusting or not, when He calls us to Him, in the midst of the battle, in the midst of the challenges, in the midst of the trials and tribulations, how many of you give thanks to God that He is there with you, holding you? Even when you say, "Lord, you're not with me anymore," God says, "You have no idea what you're talking about. I'm here for you. And I got a plan in your life." We look at this, and the first thing we see in Psalm 103 is that David is saying, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me," in his heart, his soul, his mind, the way he's expressing himself, "bless His holy name." As a whole, he's challenged to praise the Lord, because we tend to be sometimes down. We tend to kind of think God is not there. We tend to feel like, "Lord, where are you in the midst of my troubles, my circumstances?" It's not natural in us, in our flesh, in our own hearts, to be thankful to God. So this is a psalm in which David is reminding us that we are called to praise God for His blessings to us. And as we look at this, the goodness of God was evident in our lives throughout 2021. I don't know about you, but as I think of this, and as I think of the ministry, the church, our family, everything that we are able to see and experience, it's just God's goodness on us. In Psalm 103, verse 2, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." How many benefits we have and accomplish and count by the grace of God in our lives? I mean, if we only had half of what we thank the Lord for, how much will we have today, right? If everything we don't thank the Lord for was taken away from us, where would we be today? But God is good. He is gracious to us. His faithfulness is seen through His blessings in so many ways. In Psalm 100, verse 5, it says, "For the Lord is good." When we thank the Lord, when we think of blessing the Lord, praising Him, worshiping Him, He is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. And as we think of us being His children, the church, His bride, He is good to us in so many ways. In fact, it is good, not only God is not only good, but it is good for us to be thankful to the Lord, to remember the blessings that He's done. Even Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel, he says, "It is good for me and beneficial to count the mercies and the miracles of God Almighty." Now here in Psalm 92, verse 1, it says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High." Why will that be good? Because the one that much is given, much would be required of. Amen. That's first of all. But the other thing is, when we are thankful to the Lord, God sees our hearts and we have a better attitude. He's blessing us. We are rejoicing in the Lord rather than being depressed or sad or with a bad attitude. And in fact, we are commanded to be thankful to the Lord at every situation and in all situations and even by those situations. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. It says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So the will of the Lord is that you'd be thankful in all circumstances. How many of you think that's pretty tough to be thankful in all circumstances? Lord, in every situation, every difficulty and challenge, how about when people is criticizing me or not happy with me? How about when things are not working out for me, in my marriage, in my family, in ministry? How about the moment when health seems to just be going from bad to worse and there is not much hope? You know, a lot of people throughout the year experience challenges, sickness. Many of them went to be with the Lord. Many lost their loved ones throughout the years. That is the call of God for us. It is good for us to be thankful in all circumstances. That is the commandment of the Lord. His faithfulness is evident through those difficult, challenging situations in our lives. When we pray and God is not answering, that's what God is telling us. Be faithful. You know, some people will say, if you're not thanking the Lord or if you're not receiving God's miracles, it's because you're not praying right. It's because maybe God is mad at you. Maybe you're sinning. There's something hidden in your heart. You're not receiving the miracle. Let me tell you, God is faithful all the time to us. Amen? And He gives us more than we need. And He gives us more than we ask or pray or think. That's the goodness and the faithfulness of God. So when we know that God is with us, even in the difficult circumstances, He's challenging us and calling us in His will to be thankful. Now, look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. And this is even a little deeper and harder for me, for all of us. Giving thanks always and for everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For everything. For everything. Not only in everything, but for everything. This is the will of the Lord. Lord, how can I be thankful for those things that I don't understand or I don't like? Those things that I don't think they're beneficial to my life. Those things that I see no edification or fruit or productivity in. Lord, I'm hurting here in some areas of my life. God says, be thankful through those things and for those things, because He's got a plan in the midst of all these things in our lives. Now, when I want to be thankful to God, the only way possible in difficult circumstances is through Christ. Through Christ. In the greatest blessing given to us is Christ. And if we are to be thankful, we must rely on Christ Himself in order to accomplish it. In Colossians 3:17, it says, "Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Lord, I don't understand, but would you give me the strength, the hope, the wisdom, the sensitivity, the discernment to be thankful in the midst of difficult situations? And now as we look at the year, what has the Lord, really, when you really look, when you really pay attention, you start seeing and God was moving. Maybe in the middle of October, maybe in the middle of February, maybe in the middle of March, you were thinking, Lord, what are you doing? But now, when you see backwards, when you see at the end of the year, God was working in our lives and being faithful through every situation. And yes, there are some things that maybe you don't understand yet, and you're wondering what's going to happen. God has a purpose in your life. We experience the blessing of God, which we are thankful for, and the faithfulness of God through His forgiveness, first of all. And as we saw in the video, you know, the many people that accepted Jesus Christ, that came to the Lord, that made a commitment to Christ and said, Lord, You are calling me. You are forgiving me. I want to be a believer and I want to follow You in every way. And that forgiveness comes to us. That forgiveness is an evident reality in our lives, a reality that is shaping us and changing us and molding us. Look in verse 3, the first part of the verse. He is the one who forgives all your iniquities. He is the one who cleans our hearts and gives us direction and allows us to be free because we are forgiven. How many of you are thankful for that? Are you thankful for the forgiveness of God in your life? You may be thinking here, what forgiveness? I mean, every day, every moment, not only when we came to the Lord, but at all times, you know, the debt of sins is being canceled by the blood of Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 12 through 14, it says, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God. If you know what forgiveness is, these are not just words. This is the message of Christ in which you are buried in baptism, but then raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God. It's not just a saying. It's not just an idea that you're forgiven. It's the experience of freedom in the heart who raised them through the dead. The Father raised Jesus from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and in the circumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. I mean, not only every year, not only when we came to the Lord, but every moment when we come to God, there is forgiveness in him. Amen. And the debt is canceled. And we are free. In fact, that act of decrees that was against us is nailed to the cross. And sometimes, you know, the enemy brings this whisper back to us, this thought, you are a sinful person. Look how you behave. Look at the things you've done. And we live very often. We kind of act and behave and even receive blessings from God, thinking of all the sins that we commit, the failures we have. But in Christ, we are free. Amen? The debt is being paid by Jesus Christ. When you come to the Lord, you are free in him. And as I think of this, you know, there is power of Christ to forgive. I want to tell you this year, through the many lives and people that came to the Lord and the ones that got baptized, I'm so excited for my daughter, obviously, walking into the water, being baptized. But also, I had a great blessing as I saw my father being baptized here on the deck around Easter. And if you know, if you heard the story throughout the year, my dad, when I became a Christian, he rejected the Lord. He rejected my faith. He, in fact, rejected me. This is my father. I don't know what I said. My wife is looking at me like I said something that I should have not said. So I kind of know now. Anyways, when my dad came in August, he flew into Denver. He couldn't go across the border, so he flew into Denver. I went to pick him up, and I said, I got a couple things to do here in town, and then I got to go back to some meetings in the church. But I noticed from the moment he jumped in the car, he wanted to talk about the Lord, and he's kind of circling around, and he said, son, he said, I've been really feeling like I need to get in the water and be baptized. Now, I have a heavy hand, okay? So I said, Dad, why don't you repent first and ask forgiveness to the Lord instead of getting in the water and being baptized? Being a Christian is not being baptized. Being a Christian is accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And that's what I am. And that's sometimes kind of the way I go with my dad. And that's not always the best way to do it, you know. But I didn't know what my dad was trying. I thought he's probably sick. I don't know. He's 68 years old. Maybe he's thinking it's time for me to make a commitment, fire insurance. I don't know. Okay, so I want to just make it clear that it's not just getting in the water. You got to obey the Lord and follow him. Throughout the day, that morning, he kept bringing it up and bringing it up. And I remember when we pulled over here on the parking lot, my sister came and picked him up here. And as we were pulling into the parking lot, he said, son, the Lord is calling me to follow him. And I am ready. And I really want to be baptized. That's why I'm excited to be here. And I said, if you really want to be baptized, Dad, this is the week. On Saturday, we are having baptisms in the ranch in Winding River Resort. And I want you to get ready. So let's talk. He said, okay, I will see you. That was Tuesday. Now, I had a Bible study here at night. Something else on Wednesday, I think some meeting. When he went to the house on Wednesday, he was with my sister. I wasn't there. So Thursday after prayer night, we went home and he was there ready to to talk. And we sat around him and he shared his testimony, how the Lord had been calling him and really challenging him. And all of us sat down and just cried. My mother just listening to him. And Saturday he became aware of what was to happen. He went to the water. He testified of it. And throughout the last 2 months, 68 years old, and I call him because he's went back to Mexico, and I said, "Dad, how are you doing?" "I'm doing great. I lost my friends. I'm more isolated than ever, but I am walking with Jesus. Pray for me," he says, "because I want to obey the Lord, and there's a lot for me to be done to catch up in the Lord." And as he came back for Christmas just two weeks ago, I said, "Dad, how are you doing?" He said, "Never better." He said, "The Lord is with me. I'm walking with him. It's challenging. I got a lot to learn, but I am walking with the Lord." And I said, "Thank you, Lord, for making this a real transformation in the life of my father." Forgiveness is a reality. Amen? Forgiveness. Not only when we come to the Lord, but every day. When we sin, when we make mistakes, when we fail, when we go against the Lord's will, when we are just angry, when we lose it, when we start judging people or condemning people, criticizing them, when we act in a way that we know that it displeases the Lord and we break God's heart and God says, "What are you doing? You are just bringing more pain into your life." But when we come to God in humility, He forgives us. I think of this, and in 1 Timothy 1:15, Paul said, "The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost." I am a sinner in need of redemption all the time. And today, as we are here, let me invite you to remember that at the end of the year, as we finish this day, as we go through this message, God wants you to receive and experience forgiveness in your life. Amen? Sometimes we are carrying with burdens and problems of the past. And yes, we make mistakes and there are consequences and restoration must be done in many areas. But as far as being forgiven, He is our forgiveness. Amen? He is our forgiveness, and we need to know that, for when we are carrying with sin or with the condemnation of Satan because of our sin in our lives, we are depressed and we are burdened and we are with a heavy load. And God wants us to be free and to move on into service. The Bible says in 1 John 2:1, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin." It's a warning, but if you sin, if anyone does sin, which we do continually, and the closer we get to the Lord, the more we see our behavior and sin and failure, and the more we know the Word and the Holy God presents, the holier the Lord presents Himself to us, the more we see our negligence and pain and evilness in us sometimes when we act in the flesh. But look what it says here. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is righteous. He paid for our sin. He lived the life that we are to live. Now in 1 John 1:8 and 9 it says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins," if we understand this is a reality, this is the problem that I have in my life, "He is faithful and just," two things. First of all, to forgive us of our sins. That's how He is faithful. In the faithfulness of God, He's forgiving us as He promised. But also He is just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the reason is, in His justice was appeased and fulfilled in the eyes of the Lord when Jesus Christ died on that cross. Amen? And if He is just, and if He took the payment of Jesus Christ for my sins, I am righteous in Him. Amen? So I am clean, I have no debt before the presence of the Lord, and I am able to move forward. Now, in 2 Timothy 2:13, we read, "If we are faithless, He remains faithful." He continues forgiving us as we come to Him and belong to Him and stay in that relationship. Now, the greatest need, and I see this in my personal walk, of all the needs that I have, the greatest need is the forgiveness of my sins, of our sins. I don't know about you, but being a Christian has changed the way I think and see everything in such a way that I know that everything in some way is bearable. But one thing is unbearable. to not know that God has forgiven me and to not know that I am walking and living in Him. That is the reality for a Christian. The greatest aim in life is to be right with the Lord, to be in His presence, to have a relationship with Him. And when we are forgiven by God, not only we are forgiven, we have a redemption through this blood. But look what it says in Ephesians 1:7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. So we are forgiven, and then we are given riches of His grace. We are blessed in Christ in such a way that we are confident, we're moving forward, we know who we are in Christ, we have an identity that is transformed and changed. And there is, therefore, Romans 8:1 says, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? No condemnation. You are free. You are forgiven. You are in the grace of God. And throughout this time, this year, you know, we remember that in everything we did, in everything we failed, in everything we were... I mean, I look at my life and I ought to know better. I make mistakes continually. I hurt people. I offend others. You know, I take things for granted in many ways. I go in my own will. You know, I trust in my own flesh. I want to act, you know, in a way that is not godly. And even sometimes when I control and contain some of that sin within me, the reality is that in my heart and in my mind, there are often many things and many ways that I am acting against the will of the Lord. That's reality. We are struggling with our flesh continually. And yes, we have freedom in Christ, but first of all, we need to come to His forgiveness. To that place on the altar where God says, you are free. You are free. And there is nothing more beautiful for us Christians to really stand firm knowing that we have been forgiven in Christ. Amen? And even when the circumstances, the pain, people, even when the enemy, even with when everyone around you says, look, you are a self-righteous Christian. You think you're better because you go to church. No, no, no. I am here because of the grace of God in my life. Amen? Because He is sustaining me by His grace. I've been forgiven. Forgiven and free by God. It's not my holiness or my ability. It's His holiness and His ability in my life. Now, we also experienced the blessing of God's faithfulness through His healing throughout the year. And God's work of healing was evident in our lives. And I mean, there is this area of healing and the dimension of healing in our lives is so profound in so many ways. I mean, in the midst of a year that there was a lot of sickness with COVID and the pandemic going on, I mean, how many of you were healed throughout the year? How many of you know of others who experienced that healing by God? And the protection of not getting sick. Or if you got it, if you got COVID, if you were sick, God protected you. Now, many people went to be with the Lord. I say it again. But God is the one who heals all your diseases. Verse 3 of Psalm 103, second part, He heals all your diseases. And those diseases are not just physical problems that we have, illness. It's actually the problems that we have in our hearts. That is really what is one of the greatest blessings that we've received throughout the year. For 28 years, you know, I always thought, Lord, is there going to be forgiveness? Is there going to be restoration in my dad's heart? And even though in the last many years, you know, the last 10 years, my dad and I reconcile and I went through counseling at times, and I asked for counsel about this. And at one point in time, I sat with my dad and I told him how I felt and things that went on, you know, as I really went deep in my heart. And my dad asked for forgiveness. He said, I didn't know I was hurting you that bad when you were a Christian, a brand new Christian, and you were still a boy. I was 13 years old. And even though restoration in our relationship took place, it is in the last 3-4 months that I've seen that restoration take a new level in my life. And the reason is, you see that there is that healing from God. I don't know why at this point in time I experienced this, and I think, Lord, thank you for showing me and giving me the opportunity to see that there is healing in my dad, in my heart, when we have problems, you know, in the lives of those that we love, and sometimes we hurt the most, to see healing when we ask for forgiveness, but also to see the healing of the Lord as people move on. And how many of you have made messes in the relationships that you have? I have. And then when you come and ask for forgiveness and you say, I made a mistake, it takes a while for that healing to take place, right? Yes, our wives forgive us, you know, our kids, our friends, our loved ones. But trust needs to build up again when we make mistakes. And it's in those times when we see God's restoration working. Let me tell you, there are those that do not find healing in relationships, right? There are relationships and friendships and even loved ones that depart from us, and we will never see that restoration. But praise God for the healing in the areas where He is healing those hurts and wounds. Look in Psalm 143:47, verse 3. It says, He, God, heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. God is the one. No amount of counseling, no amount of therapy, no amount of, you know, working through issues will fix us up. God has to do the work in us. He has to allow us to move on. Let me tell you, there is people in bitterness that will never, never let go, and they will never experience transformation and healing. But as we experience the protection and the restoration of the Lord, we find that healing. And then also, fruit. Productivity, relationships get healed, and all of a sudden we start where we left, or maybe we build up again, and by God's grace we get to another level. You know, I look at the many people who serve in this congregation here. You know, we deal with wounded people all the time. We make mistakes. We offend people in the phone or from the pulpit or in Bible studies or in gatherings. You know, the stuff around here, whether, you know, the stuff on this side or the stuff on the school, you know, we deal with a lot of messes sometimes, and we are a mess ourselves, and it's not difficult for us to create conflict in the midst of where we work, but God is sustaining us and protecting us. Amen. And healing us. And even on health, you know, as we minister and open the church and, you know, do the different events that we did throughout the year, God gave us and sustained us physically to accomplish everything we accomplished. In the worship team, in the school, the elders, continually we were here by God's grace. He is sustaining us. Now, in Psalm 103, verse 13, it says, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him. See, when we are broken, when we are wounded, when we are sick, just a fever, we need the compassion of the Lord right there in our hearts. Amen? And that's how I see the Lord. You know, I was sharing with the guys in Bible study. I didn't think of this earlier in the service, but my daughter, Jimena, the little one, she was throwing up just 10 days ago. And, I mean, going through. And you know, when you throw up and you just are weak and frail and you have no strength. And the first 2-3 times, you know, she feels okay. It was actually, we had an event here. My wife couldn't make it to Life and Legacy. I went back and I saw her. She was weak. Now the next day, things are going the same. She's throwing up. Everything she's taking, she's throwing up. And she's just saying, Daddy, I want to be healed. And, I mean, as a father, I look at my daughter right there and I think, Lord, please heal her. I mean, it's just, I know she's vomiting. It's going to be okay. I mean, it's probably just a virus or something, couple more hours, couple more nights maybe. But the only thing that I'm thinking for a moment is, Lord, heal her, please. Heal her. Heal her. I want to see her well. That level of compassion is in God when we are going through difficult things. Amen. Now, why would God then, if He's that compassionate, not heal some situations? And believe me, there are some situations that the Lord will not heal. And we need to know that. Because otherwise we will be disoriented. The Bible says that in 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18, so we should not lose heart. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away. And let me tell you, that wasting away sometimes is the pruning, sometimes it's the sickness, sometimes it's even the dying. We've seen people go to be with the Lord throughout the year. Even though these things are happening, our inner self is being renewed day by day. God is doing a work that is beyond the understanding of just physical. healing. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. God is shaping us. He's changing us. Yes, we're getting older. We get sick. We die. But you know, when God is not healing us or restoring us to the level that we want, remember, God is doing something profound in us that we can't just address for the physical appearances. Amen? Look what he says here. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. In those places where we don't see those relationships, or even physically, that victory, we know that God is always at work, transforming, changing, and giving us an eternal perspective. Amen? We need to set our minds in there and be confident about it. Healing in our lives comes as a result of God's power to restore us in our pain and to give us the life that Jesus wanted us to have. Now, the enemy, the thief, comes only to steal, to kill, to destroy. But Christ came that we may have life and have it abundantly. That life, that abundant life, is going to be at its fullness when we get to heaven. Amen? When we get to heaven. And I was going through Revelation, and it's funny because in chapter 13, it says that the beast has power to overcome the believers. And I thought, what a horrible thing. But then, in chapter 15, right in the beginning of Revelation, it says, I saw before the throne of God all of those whom power was given to overcome the Antichrist and the beast. You know, in the earth, on the face of the earth, it seems like there was defeat for those believers. But you know what? When they die one day in the hands of the Antichrist, they will appear in the presence of God. Amen. There is always victory in Christ. Amen. Always victory in Christ. We may not see it as we want it, but there is always victory in Christ. And yes, God hears our prayers. He heals us. He restores us. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. And they have to start being destroyed here in the depthness of our heart when we are forgiven and when we are healed. Also, we experience the blessing of God's faithfulness through His redemption. And, I mean, throughout the year, you know, I look at the blessing of God. God's work of redemption took place as He took over our problems. Redemption is, and in the Old Testament especially, we see this illustration of someone being in debt, enslaved because of debt. And once you are in debt, enslaved, there's nothing you can do to rescue yourself, right? So redemption is somebody's going to have to pay for your debt. And in order for that debt to be paid, there has to be a rescuer. So Christ is the one who rescues us, and we are the ones who are redeemed, or our lands, or our situations. Now, we fall in trouble very, very often, right? Very often. And when I look at these, you know, God's work of redemption is when He's taking over our problems. Look at verse 4 in Psalm 103. God is who redeems your life from the pit. From the pit. You get down in the pit, and sometimes there's no help from that pit, right? I mean, you get in the ditch, and you think, okay, I'm going to be okay, I'm going to be okay, I'm going to get out. And then there's a moment when you just know that you're not getting out of the ditch by yourself, right? Right? Someone else has to come and get you out of the ditch, right? I was driving out here in the parking lot a year ago, out of the parking lot with my wife and kids. And finally, after a long day from church, right, we're going out. And right on that stop sign, when you don't stop the enough time, when you take that curve too fast over there, I went out on that road. And I went to the ditch on the other side. So my two left tires were on the ditch. Now, if you look at that ditch when you leave, it's a deep ditch right there. And in the van, and I realized, I'm not getting out of here. It's a knowing heart. Everybody's gone. I'm the last one. And I think, okay, who am I going to call? I need somebody to come and get me out of the ditch. And I'm just thinking, I have no jacket. I have no snow pants, no boots. This is going to be tough. And I thought, I can walk all the way to church and get the ski steer, maybe pull myself out. And all of a sudden, Jim Jones and Clarice just stop over there and they lower the window. It's a knowing heart. They say, are you okay? Yeah, we're okay. Oh, Pastor Samuel. Yeah, it's me. Do you want help? Yes, I want help. I need help right now. I'm in the ditch. And I said, why don't you take me to church and I get the ski steer? He says, I have a strap. I'll get you out. Are you sure I'm pretty deep? No, I'll get you out. He got me out. That's redemption. Redemption is when God comes and redeems us from the problem that we are in. Look at Titus 2:14. Christ gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness. That's the biggest issue we've been talking about. But also to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. See, our circumstances are often messy because of sin. And as God intervenes in our lives, he redeems our circumstances by rescuing us from the hole and pulling us out. Now, that redemption of God is evident, first of all, as he intervenes in our favor. He sees us right in the place where we are, and he helps us out. He says, I'm gonna get you out of the problem. You know, we were building an addition in the house throughout the year, and we finally got the windows on in the house. And we're happy, kind of dried in inside and all that, in the addition we're putting in. And all of a sudden, I hear this crash. Boom! And I thought, oh, something just broke. And it's something big. I go to the window and I look, and it's my son Jared. He kicked the ball through the biggest window. So I thought, brand new window right away. Oh, so I thought, I'm going to just stay here and cool myself down before I go out and just get angry at my son. And by the time I kind of went around, and I thought, I'm going to go talk to him. Because I can see him. His face is just down and he's really struggling. I see Bob Cartmell intervening and picking up the glasses with them. And I thought, he showed up over there and he was helping. And I thought, Lord, that's the way you help us. When we are in the place where we mess up, where we just create problem for ourselves, you redeem us and you intervene in our favor. That's God. Amen? That's God. Throughout the year, how many mistakes? How many challenges? How many problems you faced? And God went there and he said, I'm going to act on your behalf. I love you. I'm here for you. I'm going to sustain you and give you a hand in the midst of your problem. Let me tell you something. Not only God is intervening in those problems where it's messy, when you messed up, God is always in full control of your life. Amen? I mean, I look at this and how many times God protects me. Even when I want to go down to the pit and God somehow, you know, slows me down or puts someone in my way so that I will not commit a sin. Remember when David is heading out to kill Nabal? Because Nabal was a mean man who didn't give him anything that he was asking for. And here she comes, Nabal's wife, Abigail, to stop him and to hold him from making a mistake. Right? I mean, sometimes I'm driving on the highway and I'm like, here we go again. Maybe this morning this was your experience. 15 miles per hour traffic, right? And then I think, well, maybe God is protecting me from falling off the road. God is always guiding us and guarding us. Amen? He's always protecting us. Another thing that we see, actually, in this intervention, look at Romans 8:34. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised and who is at the right hand of God, indeed, interceding for us. Interceding on our behalf. Also, not only intervening on our behalf, but look at the next thing. Bringing freedom to us. In Psalm 103, verse 4, after he pulls us out of the pit, he crowns us with steadfast love and mercy. He's crowning us with steadfast love and mercy. I'm going to sustain you and direct you in victory. Look in Galatians 2:1. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm therefore and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. God wants us to have victory and freedom in our lives. And therefore when he rescues us from the pit, he gives us everything that we need for life and godliness. And that comes through the power and the direction of the Holy Spirit in our lives. When we live in the flesh, we're going to go to the hole. When we live in the Spirit, we are going to continue toward victory. Amen? And that's what God wants us to be, and he wants to lead us. Now, the other way he redeems us and gets involved and intervenes in our problems is when he takes over our circumstances. There are some situations in which we messed up that have difficult, challenging circumstances. Things don't get fixed. We break hearts. We hurt people. Sometimes there's no restoration in some of these areas. But when we come to God and He redeems those areas, He will make them flourish, even when for us or in our own strength is impossible. Romans 8:28 says, "We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose." Even in your mistakes, even when everything is just bad, you know, in the middle of the desert, God will make things flourish because He knows how to do that. He's powerful to do it. Amen? Now, finally here, we experience the blessing of God's faithfulness through being satisfied in Him, His satisfaction. We become satisfied in God as we continue to trust Him and we depend on Him and grow in Him. But that comes to me personally as His presence is in my life. Look in verse 5 of Psalm 103, "Who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." See, the greatest need we have is the presence of the Lord directing us, guiding us, strengthening us, comforting us, and allowing us to know that He is with us. In Psalm 73, verse 25 through 26, Asaph says this, Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. I look at this and in my own life, you know, when I get up in the morning like today, you know, when I drive, when I look at the challenging situations in my life, even my own sin, and I realize, God, are you with me? And I pray, and God, through His power, the power of His Holy Spirit, comes and fills my heart and satisfies me. That is when I see the faithfulness of God continually. God is with me. There is that relationship where I trust in the Lord. He strengthens me. Ephesians chapter 6 says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might." It's not an idea. It's not just a verse. It's not kind of thinking or wishing that everything is going to turn out okay because the Bible says it. No, it's having the presence of God in our lives, guiding us, directing us, and giving us satisfaction as Christians. In Psalm 16, 1 through 2, it says, "Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge." When I'm in the middle of the storm, when I'm in the middle of the battle, when I don't know what to do, God is a refuge. I say to the Lord, "You are my Lord, and I have no good apart from you." The presence of God is my satisfaction, and there I know that He is with me, and I am strengthened by Him in my life. Now, when I know that He is with me, regardless of the circumstances, throughout the year, in the middle of the storm, at every moment, I know that He will complete the good work that He has started and initiated in my own life until the day of Jesus Christ. And that's how we know that the goodness of God is present and His faithfulness continues to abide in us. By His forgiveness, His healing, His redemption, and His satisfaction in our lives. And when we experience those things in us and we see those blessings in us, we are called to praise the Lord. Amen. To thank the Lord, because that's not something natural in our lives. So this morning, I want to invite you to just bow your head and just thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for His blessing in your lives throughout this year, every miracle that you experienced by God's goodness. And just praise Him. Praise Him this morning as our worship team comes to this place. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We worship You. We adore You, Lord. Again, as we sing, as we listen to Your Word, as we reflect in the things of the year, Lord, our families, our friends, ministry, Lord, our bodies, forgiveness, Lord, restoration, Lord, physical strength and spiritual strength, the health, Lord, in our relationships, Lord, with our loved ones, Lord, where we ask for forgiveness, recognize our sins, step in faith, Lord, as we rebuild. We thank You, Lord. For our children, our families, thank You, Lord. For our friends, for the many hands and feet of the people in this congregation, Lord, who volunteer continually, Lord, daily, weekly, monthly, Lord, throughout the year, whether in the worship, Lord, or in school, in the staff here at the church, Lord, in the facilities, Lord, mentoring one another, discipling one another, bringing encouragement, a teaching, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the many blessings, Lord. We know that every good gift and every perfect gift that we have is because of your grace and goodness to us, Lord. We have because of you, Lord. And yes, Lord, you use people around us, Lord, to give, Lord, their talents and ministries. And Lord, their call is to come and be part of the church, Lord, and you bless us, and we are members of one another, Lord. And we thank you for that. We thank you for that, Lord. Guide us continually. Allow us to remember that it's all because of your grace. Sustain us, Lord, in every step of the way. And Lord, in those moments when we are feeling defeated, when the enemy is just whispering in our ears and saying, you have no right or purpose or direction, allow us to remember, Lord, that you are with us and to feel your presence in our hearts. To know, Lord, that it is a reality that is changing us and transforming us. Fill us anew with the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. Give us gifts through the power of the Holy Spirit in which we are able to minister to one another, Lord. In your mighty name, Jesus, we pray. Thank you for your grace, your goodness, your provision this morning. Thank you for this time of worship, Lord. Lead us, guide us, direct us, Lord. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's worship the Lord.